From your anointed table, we We ask you to feed us with some holy word, Lord, that is convenient for our souls. Lord, stir up our pure minds. Lord, stir up our conscience. Lord, stir up our hearts. Lord, send your word to heal. For your word declares in Psalm 107, you sent your word and it healed. And Lord, we need healing. Lord, you know the sickness is in all of our lives. You know the afflictions. Lord, send your word to heal. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You know, the praise team, they used to sing a song. I don't know what happened. Sometimes they had some of the songs go into the dust, into cobwebs. But they used to sing a song, He Knows My Name. Are you glad God knows your name?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that He knows my name. Say, He knows my name. He knows my every thought. God sees each tear that falls. And thank God that He hears me when I said, He knows my name. Amen. The scripture says that God is acquainted with all of our ways. There's nothing that's happening present in our lives. There's nothing happening in the future that catches God unaware. Amen. But here in Luke chapter 12, I'm going to read two verses of scripture. Amen. I could go back. I'm not going to talk about casting into hell because Ellen Tinsley and Sister Carol, we already took care of the trophies of hell. So they did the hell message. They're going to go to heaven message. Can we say go to heaven?
Yeah.
I'm going to take it in. They already messed with hell. Amen. But hell is real and so is heaven. Amen. So we got to make preparation. But that's not my message. Verse 6 reads, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? In other words, it's a minuscule amount, which would be equivalent to our penny is what two sparrows will be sold for. He said, and not one of them is, you know what he said? Luke is writing, he said, you know, some of the most insignificant, valueless, things when it comes to God, they are not for God. The meaningless, things that seem to be unvaluable, seem to be minuscule. What we wouldn't even place any value to. The Bible said they are not for God, before God. He said, but even the very hairs of your head are, shows you how acquainted God with us. He didn't just say the hairs are numbered, but he said they're what?
Oh.
Now I could go into a little comedy with that hair, but I'm going to leave that alone. Alright, I'm going to leave that part alone because the number in hair, we're not going to mess with that. But I think everybody can look and get the message, so we'll just skip on over that, okay? Amen. But it says, not just some hair, but all the hairs on our head are numbered. Amen. He says, fear not therefore, ye are of more value than
many.
God loves us so much. Amen. God never intends for the church to be forgotten. Amen. There are many times that we feel as though when we're in the middle of our desert experiences, when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, amen. We're down at the bottom of the rung and trying to climb up. There are times when, as we learn on Friday, the devil likes to play games in our minds and make us think that God has forgotten us. But if God keeps up with the minuscule things, if God keeps up with the things that doesn't cost anything, are not ye of more value than the things that have no value? God knows all of us by name. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13. God knows you. He understands. Whatever you're experiencing today, just hold on. Because God has not forgotten you. Amen. He wanted us to understand how intricately involved God is with us. He says, every hair on your head is numbered. Now, scientists and medicine and doctors. They can do a whole lot. But can't nobody ever hear on your head like God. God is interested in us down to the smallest detail. Amen. How many know that every day you wake up and comb your hair, you lose hair? God counts. And at the end of the day, when you lay down and rest, God knows every hair on your head. I'm so glad I have a God like that. Amen. I can count half my hair, but God knows every hair on my head. He said, not a meaningless, valueless creature that God created falls to the earth, and God has forgotten them. Brothers and sisters, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, that means that God has deposited a portion of you in Him. Amen. So not only does He know you from the outside, but can we say He knows me from the inside? Can we say He knows me from the inside? He knows everything that's in us. Amen. He's acquainted with all of our ways. He said that there's not a thought in your tongue, but God knows it all together. Amen. Even the thoughts that you have that are far off, God knows them. So God knows you from the inside out. I'm so glad that when God, hallelujah, starts to evaluate me, when God starts to search me, Lord, I give you permission in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, to search me, oh God, and know my heart. Lord, I give you permission, hallelujah, because I want to be right. I give you permission to try me, oh God, and know my thoughts. How many want God to know everything there is about you? Hallelujah. You can't make it to heaven today, hallelujah, if something is messed up. So if the mind is right and the heart is right, I'm on my way to heaven, the songwriter said, and come on, I'm on my way to heaven, and I, Lord, I thank you that one day Jesus took my heavy load, and now I'm on that glory road. And guess what? I'm not sorry. Isaiah 49, verse 13. If we don't get anything else out of the message today, remember that God has not forgotten you. You might feel as though the bottom is falling out and your whole world is caving in all around you, but God has given us a promise. He has not forgotten us. Verse 13 reads, sing, O heavens, and be joyful. The joy of the Lord is my what? I say the joy of the Lord is mine. Amen. It's with joy that we draw waters out of the wells of salvation. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. Mr. Gibbs, turn me down just a little bit. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So he says, sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into
singing.
You know, it's something about the Psalms of Zion.
Yeah.
Amen. When you're down in one of those valley experiences, when you wear down way low, there's nothing wrong with, if you can't sing it, I don't sing that good, but I can sure moan it. I can sure moan it. Amen. I can get one of those songs and I can get it to just start resonating down in my soul. Lord, I don't understand what's happening in my life, but there's nothing wrong with having amazing grace. How sweet the sound that sing. Lord, I once was lost, but now I once was blind, but now I see. The songwriter said, through many dangers, thorns, and snares, I have already, 'twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Amen. You got to get a song, hallelujah, down in your valley experiences. You got to get a song, hallelujah, when you don't have no joy. And you got to just sing that song. Somebody say, how long do I sing it? I sing it till I get some relief.
Right.
Amen. Because I know when I start praising the Lord, when I start lifting him up, I heard the psalmist say that he inhabits, hallelujah, the praises of his people. So whatever you're going through, learn to praise the Lord. Amen. Don't let the devil steal your joy. So he said, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, Lord. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his. He said, you got to sing. Some affliction means you're going through it. You're going through it. But God knows how to comfort you. Anybody going through it this afternoon? Somebody said, I'm going through it worse than you can ever imagine. God knows how to comfort you. Amen. Say, well, nobody else understands. It doesn't matter. God understands. And all of our comfort comes from God. I believe it's Isaiah 40. He says, comfort ye my people. God knows how to comfort us. But as we learned on Friday, one of the games the devil likes to play in our mind, say, well, God don't care about you. The church don't care about you. The saints don't care about you. Nobody cares. Those are the games that he likes to play in our mind to try and get us away from our own source of help. And that is God. So when he starts whispering those nothings in your ear, just simply say, Satan, I rebuke you in the... I said, Satan, I rebuke you in the... Bible says that Michael, hallelujah, when he was disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, he said he didn't bring any railing accusation. See, sometimes we give the devil too much time. We talk to him and let him talk back to us too much. Said when Michael was disputing with the devil, he said, I don't have time to bring no railing accusations against you. Because the more you speak to the devil, the more he's going to come back anyway. So he said, simply say, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The problem, we give the devil too much time and way, way, way too much attention. Amen. We say God is great. How many know our God is great? How many know he's a deliverer? How many know he's a way maker? How many know he can make a way out of no way? But in the midst of our hardships and trouble, we forget about our way maker. And we start communing and going back and forth with the devil. But well, I don't know it's the devil. When it's negative, it ain't God. I said when it's negative, it's not God. When it's talking about quitting and giving up, that is not God. Because the Bible said we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who loved us? Jesus. Who died for us? Jesus. Whenever I say that, I want y'all to say Jesus. Amen. We're going to bring him in here. Amen. Who loves you?
Jesus.
Who died for you?
Jesus.
Who's the only one that can make a way for you out of no way?
Jesus.
That's why the songwriter said that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, oh, thank you. There's no other. For my Jesus
is the way.
Let's go back to Isaiah 49. I'm going to finish this. It says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. We know God will not forsake us. And we know that God will not forget us. But it's something about hardship and trouble. Sometimes hardship and trouble can bring out the worst in our imagination. That's why the Bible says that when we come to God and allow him to work his situation out, he's able to pull down strongholds. Who can do it? God. He's able to cast down imagination. The tool that the adversary has so shrewdly used against the church is our thoughts and our imagination. Amen. Because when things happen, the first thing we have the tendency to do is imagine the worst. How many know that If God is for us, who can be against us? But the imagination, amen, the devil uses our imagination to make a molehill and mountain. He will use our imaginations. You know, you ever get ready to go into something, and instead of saying, God got this and believe God's going to make a way, we make the situation so bad, then we go through it, we say, why? Why did I beat myself up so bad? Why did I browbeat myself so bad? Why did I allow myself to be in that type of mental frame of mind when God had this? He knows my name. So it says, Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has, that's the church. Zion, the natural Israel, is also representative of the Israel of God, which is the church. Zion represents Jerusalem. And I heard Paul say, Jerusalem is mother to us all. Amen. So there's some time when we see Zion, we can really replace Zion with the church. How many in church think that God has forsaken them? In the midst of you, what you're going through, do you feel as though God has forgotten you? Amen. It says, verse 15, can a woman forget her suckling child? In other words, all of you that have been mothers, you will not forsake your baby. Amen. Because you love your baby, you're going to nurse it. Whatever milk it needs, whatever it needs for it to thrive and grow, you're going to make sure it gets it. Amen. That she should not have compassion on the son of her. He's trying to draw a parallel between a mother's love and God. Amen. How many know there's no greater love? I said, how many know there is no greater love? I know my mother loves me, my brothers and sisters, my family, my wife, my children, and everybody loves me, but I can say there is no greater love than the love of God my Father. Hallelujah. For yea, they may forget, yet will God said, I will never forget. Whatever you're going through right now, God will not forget. God has not forgotten. God has not forgotten. The Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God will be considered unrighteous if in the middle of what you're going through, he would forget you. But how many know there is no unrighteousness in God? So God is not unrighteous, brothers and sisters, to forget you and whatever you're going through. Amen. He has this, but he's waiting for you to come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms. God said, now, you think I've forsaken you, you think I've forgotten you. He said, not only have I not forsaken you, not only have I not forgotten you, he said, but I have inscribed you. That's why I'm so glad it's a personal relationship with God. He said, I have inscribed you in the palm of my hand. Now, if you go to John, Jesus says this. He said, those that I have in my hand can no man take out. Those that I have in my palm of my hand can no man nor devil take out. That was in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, he said, now, I've engraved thee in the palm of my hand. That's personal. Amen. That's God going beyond the natural. That's God giving us the assurance. You remember that old song we used to sing, he has the whole world where? Come on, he has the whole world. But he says now, he goes beyond that. He says personally, I have engraved you. In other words, God has taken your name and inscribed it in his hand. And no man can take you out. That's why we read in Luke, it says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body. But we ought to fear him that's able to destroy both. our body and soul in. So God has now inscribed, Lord, I'm looking forward to seeing my name in your hand. And so that means I know that God has not forgotten me, and neither has he forsaken me. So he said, I inscribe you in my hand, and thy walls are continually before me. The wall represented Jerusalem, the high walls around Jerusalem. God says, you're in my hand, and your walls, everything that is about you personally, God says, they're ever before me. So brothers and sisters, if God has us in his hand, he has us in his eye, why are we so fearful? Why are we so afraid? The Bible says, oh ye are. That's why the scripture says, fear not, little flock. For it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. God knows us in a personal way. But how many of us know God in a personal way? Paul the Apostle expressed his love to God this way. He said, that I may know him. That no one just as an acquaintance or to know him in passing, but that was to know God in an intimate way. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. This afternoon, whatever we're going through, God knows it. He has not forgotten. We are inscribed in the palm of his hand. I'm going to just refer to this for the sake of time. In your spare time, read Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 and verse 17. In your spare time, read Exodus 33, 12 and 17. Down in there, it talks about how Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, how do we know he found grace? God told Moses, he said, I know thee by name. I know thee by name. That's why I know that I found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord, because he knows me that I stand. Amen. I'm not going to intrude on your heat patience, but I need you to know God has not forgotten you. Whatever you're experiencing as the ministers, the elders, and the praise team come forth, workers come forward, God has not forgotten any of us. Amen. He knows us by name. Now, God knows us. The question is, do we have a personal, intimate relationship with God? Now, a lot of us, a lot of people have a relationship with God. But to gain God's favor, we need to have an intimate relationship with God. Today is all about doing the things that are right in the eyes of God. As we search our ways personally, as we examine our own lives, and as we look way down deep. You know, salvation is not surface. Salvation is looking down deep. It's looking down to some places that only you and God knows. When we look down deep, can we say that it's well with my soul? If it's not well with your soul this afternoon, then the altar is open. Hallelujah.